This is the Tom Likas Show.
You can make a loaf of bread for as little as a quarter.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
For a loaf of bread. Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And here he is, family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, always good to have you in.
Hey, Tom, what's up?
Not much. I want to ask you, because I know you've been following.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about this Johnny Depp Amber Heard settlement.
Yes, it just
went
away.
What do you think happened there?
I think they both got new lawyers. It looks like Blair Burke started working for Johnny. She's a legendary lawyer, represented a lot of celebrities. And on the other side, she got herself Pierce O'Donnell, who worked on the Sterling matter. My understanding is that she wasn't fighting in the end about money, though she was asking for a whole lot, and she had been negotiated down a bit. But the sticking point was going to be some kind of public statement or joint statement where he was going to acknowledge that he had hurt her and that he was sorry. And I think that was never going to happen. And I think that Mr. Disney Movies didn't need something like that floating around. And so they just made some kind of a bland joint statement that they respect each other and they had a tumultuous relationship. And she promised that she's going to donate her settlement to charity, though we don't know which charity nor what percentage of the settlement. So I would say that's probably zero and no charity that we've ever heard of beside herself. But that's how it goes. You know, today I was telling Gary I was in Children's Court, which is in Monterey Park, California. That's one court for all the child abuse cases in all of Los Angeles County. And the other counties have these as well. But Los Angeles actually has just a single court that does the whole entire county. And I got to tell you, Tom, there's a lot of basic things that we believe that are not true and that we've been brainwashed as a society. And one of those things is that men are the big danger and the big child abusers. Well, I can tell you, I was in court today, and it's not true. Statistically, it is shown that 80 to 90% or more of child abuse is done by women, which, if you think about it, makes sense. I mean, women have generally more access to children, or with children when they're at younger ages and so forth, and are more isolated in the sense that they're not suspected, they're left alone with children. There's always some kind of a thing, and I remember this when I was a young dad, taking my kids to the park. So here I am at the park with like two little boys, and you know, you're getting dirty looks from people, you know, as a man. And it's like, who's this guy? Are those his kids, or he's some kind of pedophile or something? And it's really ugly that our society works that way. And I think that what you saw with this Heard and Depp case is also typical of that, where people are very inclined to believe this crazy broad who's saying that Johnny Depp threw cell phones at her and beat her up and so forth. There's no evidence of that at all. And you see how that works. The question you have to ask yourself, and this is really how the legal system is structured today, is if you give all these tools to lawyers, and particularly to women in these cases, are they going to use them? You know, and the answer is yes. Now, I had a terrific law professor in law school. I'm going to talk about law school a little bit tonight. I had this great professor who's a real genius, and he was a federal judge, and he was very well known in his field. And he said something that I think, you know, after years of law school was one of the few really important lessons that I learned in the whole experience. And what he said was that just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should do it. And that whole idea of having some kind of restraint and discretion is very critical as a lawyer and in legal matters in general. And just because you can sue someone or just because you can get away with something doesn't mean you should do it. And one of the problems, I think, in reality, if you look at circumstances today, is that women in particular are becoming more and more unrestrained and more childish and more childlike. And a lot of the things that used to counter that, such as parents when they were, you know, women are young, and things like, you know, a husband who would, you know, kind of keep his wife in line later on, that's all gone now. I just read an interesting article in the good old British Daily Mail where a young woman of 16 or 17 in England apparently read 50 Shades of Grey and told the police that her father, who she apparently wanted to teach a lesson, had been raping her for 8 years. And when they asked for details of the rapes, she apparently was a virgin, but anyway, that doesn't matter. She literally recited what she had read in 50 Shades of Grey. If you can believe that, Tom. And she,
of course I believe it.
She literally talked about these different scenarios from the book and the movie. And I was thinking of good old our good friend Dana Brunetti, the producer of that movie, you know. Apparently working on the sequel, God help us. And, you know, she went to court and was, you know, he was being prosecuted and he was going to face, you know, 25 years or more in jail. And apparently the defense attorney that he had recognized some of what the woman was saying, the daughter, from the book, and said to her, wait a minute, isn't that what happened in the book or whatever? And the daughter said, yeah, I made it up, just like that. And, you know, she has no remorse. You know, the case was dismissed, but he was this close, you know. And nobody gives a crap. And there's no punishment for that. There's no, you know, counter anything. It's all a big joke to women today. And that's what I meant about, you know, having discretion when you, you know, could do something, not necessarily should do it. I mean, that is a great reality that I think that a lot of people today have forgotten. And, you know, being, as I said, in children's court today, I saw a woman lose permanently her children. I mean, that is something that's unbelievable. And she apparently didn't see it coming until it happened, which is pretty typical. And she was completely hysterical. But this is something that goes on for real in, you know, serious child abuse cases. And this is stuff that is happening in our society much more often. If you look today, as we're, you know, taping the show here, talking about the show, this is something that is happening in Milwaukee. You've had several days of riots. People are just out of control, and we don't have any kind of normalcy in people expressing their displeasure for whatever it is. The way you do that is with violence, apparently, and you burn down your city or whatever, which is just twisted. And when women who think their feelings are the most important thing in the universe feel that they've been wronged by a guy, and whatever that means, you know, I have a lot of cases where the woman is the one who did the breakup. I mean, you always picture that the wife got dumped by the husband, but in a lot of cases, and most divorces are filed by women, the woman is the one who breaks the relationship up, and then she is furious as though she is the wronged party. And just like these people that riot, it's not enough for her to leave the husband. She wants to burn down the neighborhood, and meaning she wants to destroy him and destroy all he's worked for. And we have a legal system that tragically gives her a lot of the tools to do that. Now, one of the things that's really interesting, and this is right from first year of law school, which is supposedly the most difficult. They say in the first year of law school, they, like, you know, kill you. They scare you to death. One of the things that you learn in contracts is that, you know, a contract is not just, you know, a piece of paper or a promise to do something. It's an agreement. It's a promise for a promise. It's an exchange of things. And what people don't recognize is that the basic fundamental foundation of a contract
is the principle of fairness and fair dealing and good faith, which means that when you execute the contract, both sides are supposed to do something, and they're supposed to do it to the best of their ability and in good faith. So when you talk about someone who's a scrounger who signs a contract and then immediately tries to do the minimum, you know, and leaves work early every day and doesn't give a crap and doesn't try, and you know, that's not what the contract is about. The contract is supposed to be this agreement between willing parties who both are going to make their big effort. And so, for example, if a singer signs a contract with a record label, the record label is going to try to promote their songs and their albums, and the singer is going to sing his brains out and try to make great music and great albums that people are going to want to buy. And so if he phones it in and then the record company only half-heartedly promotes his albums, that is a violation on both sides. Now, what I find astonishing, I mean absolutely unbelievable with women today, is that, you know, after all is said and done, whatever liberation you want to talk about and men and all this other nonsense, the truth is women are still the ones that want to get married. I think that most women feel their lives are out of control and they lack stability and they see how difficult it is to make it in the world. Women say they want security and they want protection, and they seem to think that the best way, classically, even today, is to get married. And what women forget in this circumstance, and it's just a widespread problem, is that marriage is not just something that benefits them. It's a contract, and it's a promise for a promise. It's supposed to be done in good faith and fair dealing, which means that when a woman, and this is classic, completely stops having sex with her husband, then it's fair to say that his promise to be faithful to her is not necessarily valid anymore. And when a woman stops doing a lot of the wife things, like cooking dinner, taking care of the house, being a kind and decent partner, then the husband in turn quits his job and stops paying the bills and doesn't give a shit. You know, that is sort of his payback for her breaking the contract too. But the way women see it today is that, you know, they can do whatever they want, but then hold the man to the letter of the agreement that he made. And that's really, really twisted. And that's a very serious problem today. When I talk to women about this, they absolutely do not understand what I'm talking about. And it's remarkable because women do these cruel things, and they're so amazed by the circumstance that comes later, like the consequences. They don't understand how that could happen. I've got a guy now who was married for about 30 years. That's a long time. And his wife went to her high school reunion, which was apparently where she was from, of course, and it was a different state. And so she took a flight there. He suggested that he would go with her, but she told him, no, you wouldn't like it. You'd be bored, and you don't know the people and so forth. So she went on her own. He trusted her. And naturally, while she was there, she had sex with some guy from high school. You saw that part coming, right, Tom?
How many times have I told that story? That is what women do at high school reunions.
There's no doubt about it. Apparently, sexual tension unresolved gets resolved, right?
Unresolved issues.
Right.
Yes.
So she comes back, and she tells this guy who's with her for 30 years, they raised a family, they have a life together. He thought that they were happy. See, this is the killer, you know. The stereotype, again, as I mentioned, of the abusive to children man, which is nonsense. The other stereotype is the guy in middle age who screws his 22-year-old secretary and dumps his wife. Well, things have really flipped in our society, because here she comes back from wherever and tells him, look, I know we've been married for 30 years and you've been good to me and you never hit me and you were responsible and you were a good father and a good husband, but guess what? I'm leaving you for the guy that I always had a crush on when I was 16. And by the way, I already had sex with him a couple of times while I was away, and it's 100 times better than anything you ever did. So now I'm going to sue you for divorce and take all your shit and run off with this guy. But the interesting part of it
is that she's so angry. She's so wronged and so vicious and so vengeful. And it's unbelievable. I thought, you know, I actually spoke to her, if you can believe this, because she hired a lawyer eventually, but she didn't at first. So I was talking to her directly. And I just figured, okay, you know, this is your choice. You must have, you know, had a midlife crisis or whatever women do. So let's just type up a stipulation and you'll sign it and go be with your high school guy. And her attitude was so spiteful and nasty. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you would have, like, been an outside person looking at this. You would have thought that he had dumped her and that she, you know, was very, very hurt and emotionally scarred and whatever. And that was actually not the case at all. That she was the one who actually broke the marriage and then walks around like she's the victim. And, you know, this is the classic thing that goes on. It's amazing to me in how many women sort of get into this position of using the husband as a punching bag. Not literally, God help us, but where they're very insulting to him, putting him down. You know, nothing he does is ever right. Some of the things that you said, Tom, when you were married, that your wife says, you know, you think you're funny, you're not funny, you know, and you're a slob, and, you know, it's not cute what you do, and you're using the wrong pan and all that other crap. And the guy finally, I mean, he puts up with it for years. He pleads with her to change. He tries to go to therapy. I mean, who knows, whatever. And after a number of years, he finally tells her, look, I can't take this anymore. Files for divorce. And she is hysterical. I mean, she literally has no sense of responsibility or cause and effect or anything. And she's never occurred to her in a million years that by being a complete bitch, that eventually the husband would get sick and tired of it and leave her. And when he does tell her, look, you didn't want to be with me anyway, you know, so I'm with this new chick now. And she's like, how dare you cheat on me? How dare you try to leave me? And it really is exactly the things that you were always saying, Tom, and you mentioned on the show today, where the truth is a woman wants a man that has to answer to her and that is someone that she can boss around and control. And it's sick. It's twisted. Because even in that context, it's like, does this woman even love the guy at all? I mean, she's spending all these years with him, raising a family, depending on him in so many different ways, and being so intimate in the sense of, you know, eating together, sleeping together, like watching television together day after day, and she actually despises him. And she sort of was holding it in, and then once the divorce gets filed, it all comes pouring out. And this is exactly what I'm talking about in terms of this contractual thing, which is this fair dealing and good faith. It's like this whole thing is completely forgotten. So a woman today, and this is something that I was saying, especially for, I guess, you know, American women or Western women, but I don't know that it's limited in that way at all. I think this is something that women have always concealed. You know, they have a tremendous desire to be married, to get married. They have the whole thing about the ceremony and all the details of the planning and the party and who's going to sit where and all this stuff. They love the attention whore, you know, center of attention aspect. But when you look at it, it's exactly what you said on the show today, Tom. Fundamentally, it's Kim Kardashian marrying that basketball player. You know, what was his name?
Chris Humphries.
Yeah, her first husband or whatever. She didn't give a shit about him. They were only married for, what, 30 days or something ridiculous? But
something crazy.
She literally needed someone. I guess it even matched the TV show production or whatever. And so, you know, tag, you're it. Okay, fine. He's a good-looking guy. We'll use him. And, you know, when he was done and he had performed the service that she needed, which was the placeholder and being the essentially playing the part of husband, then when, you know, they were married, she didn't know what to do with him anymore. It's like, you're still here. Yeah, but it's like, what, are you still around? I thought you understood, you know, like you're supposed to leave now, you know? And then, you know, once he started to say, okay, fine, let's get divorced, then she hated his guts. That's the amazing thing. And guys are so surprised by this, you know. There's an interesting thing that I've said, you know, a few times, that there's no man in the world that women hate as much as the man that they've had children with. And that's absolutely true. And it's amazing to me because I talk to guys because it's so counterintuitive. And guys say, well, you know, she'll never turn on me because, you know, we have a kid and she knows that's forever. Well, I'm sorry, my friends. You know, she is going to turn on you, and she doesn't give a shit about the kid. That's the tragedy of it. That's the cruelty of it. That, you know, she should be restrained in the sense that you are the father of her children, so she doesn't want to destroy you, you know, because that's only going to hurt them. But a woman's desire, this primal desire for revenge, is so overwhelming that it even overrides her motherly feelings. So whatever she feels towards her children, she's going to set that aside so long as she can do things to hurt you as the father of her children. And that's what I saw today, especially, as I mentioned, in children's court. I mean, you have never seen the vindictiveness of women where they go so far and they're making up anything that they can grab on. And you see that it's getting stronger and stronger. Now, Tom, on Monday, yesterday, you were talking about Donald Trump's candidacy going down the drain.
Yes.
I think, as usual, Mr. Likas, you are certainly aware of what's going on and a good predictor of the future. Certainly have your pulse on things, yes?
So I think so, yes.
Being realistic then, in all fairness, this is something that you and I have talked about quite a few times, you know, if Hillary Clinton is the next president, and that's starting to look like something that is going to happen, right, this kind of stuff is only going to get worse. Now, when you have guests on and the people that we've had on the show, like Susan Benker and some of the other writers who talk about some of these things that we talk about, you know, they're saying that the laws have got to be reformed. And this is something that that the book Men on Strike by Smith, that she was talking about how, you know,
Dr. Helen Smith.
Right. She's saying how the laws in family law and marriage and so forth have to be reformed. And it has to be made more reasonable, and then, you know, we'll have men being more ready to have families again and to try to, you know, rebuild society in that way once it's fair to men. Well, Tom, let's be honest. If you have a mega feminist as the president of the United States, you know, this is part of her agenda. She's actually going to make things even stricter. She's actually going to pass more laws to go even further in the direction of tilting things for women.
Well, I don't want to turn this into
politics, but I'm not talking politics here with you.
No, I understand. But what I want to say is that Barack Obama had a laundry list of things he wanted to accomplish, and Congress never let him do it.
I agree, Tom, but in the area,
so I am not so convinced.
No, I know, I know.
That Hillary Clinton's going to do those things.
She doesn't get her whole agenda. I'm with you. I understand. Nobody does. But if you look at Obama, Obama has this heavy-duty, crazy feminist wife, and she pushed him, and he also believed in it himself, and they passed the VAWA, the Violence Against Women Act, and a lot of other laws. And I just think that when you look at the trend, and again, I'm not trying to make this a political show, but I think going forward, if anything, with the mentality of a Hillary Clinton at the helm, we are going to see the things that exist now, which are so bad it's already a joke. I think it's going to get even worse, and I think that's a tragedy.
Well, you know, I'm not a Hillary Clinton lover or supporter. I just do not want Donald Trump getting his hands on the nuclear codes. That's it. I'd rather live here with VAWA than to live here as ashes, okay? And that's the bottom line.
You forget, Tom, I grew up in New York, and I know what a crazy person Trump is, okay?
Right,
and
I
mean, you know, I used to go to the Tower, and I used to go to his casinos. I remember, okay? So I'm more than familiar
with
him.
You were one of the few, according to Securities Exchange.
I don't know. Apparently it was cool at one time. I had no idea. I remember seeing the Trump Princess, which was his big boat, was like docked in Atlantic City. But anyway, a big thrill for me when I was 18. But the point is that I'm not trying to make a political argument. What I'm saying is that if anything, the trends of these kinds of laws and this kind of craziness is actually going to become even more extreme. So instead of reforming the laws, which is what we need to be doing, we're going to make them even worse. That's what I'm saying.
Well, then the next time the Republican Party is going to have to do better than that group of twinks that were running against Donald Trump.
Just remember, Tom, if it hadn't been Trump, it would have been, what, Cruz or Marco Rubio?
Who
would have
lost also. And who also would have
won? Or Jeb Bush? I mean, are any of these sounding more?
Who would have gotten crushed?
Are these more attractive in some way?
No, I'm simply saying that they're blander and therefore less offensive than
Donald
Trump.
I mean, if you make it impossible for people to pair up, which is a general human principle and a general human need. And you don't have family as a foundation of society anymore, where it's such a disaster for people, then I don't know that society has that much of a future. Seriously.
Well, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to press ahead, enjoy what I have.
I was thinking of
enjoy it for as long as I can.
I was thinking of Clary's book, Enjoy the Decline.
Yes. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to enjoy the decline. That's right.
Yeah, I'll do it with you, Tom.
Good. Nice. Let's take a break here, Adam, because we got calls coming in and you want to get to those, and so do I.
Hell yeah.
It's coming up here. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, and we are here with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, his specialty is divorce, saving your child custody, keeping your child support to the minimum necessary to help you out if you need a prenuptial or a postnuptial agreement. He'll probably try to talk you into getting married, but that's fine. And on top of that, if you've been served with a restraining order or some other piece of legal documentation, he's here to help you out right now. Okay, so if you have questions about family law, call Adam and get your free legal advice now. 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-TOM. Call us right now. It's 901-3000. 866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM.
This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We do it live every Tuesday beginning at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And here we are with family law attorney Adam Sachs and your phone call. At 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. Call us now. 901-3000-866. Here is Bill in Portland, Oregon, home of the other white meat, on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, Dad. Hey, Adam. How
hey,
are
Bill.
You?
How you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a woman friend. I'll just call her a good fuck buddy who is Malaysian.
Okay.
Her dad, her parents, her dad is 85, and her mom is probably around 68, maybe 66, so there's an age difference. But she told me that her parents have what's called a Chinese divorce.
Uh-huh.
And I wondered if Adam knew what that meant at all.
I don't know. What does that tell us?
What that tells us is that the dad, her father, actually lives in Malaysia. The mother lives in Detroit, which
uh-huh.
was was the family home that my lady friend grew up in when she was little. And it's been like this for over 30 years.
Right.
They've been on other sides of the earth, and the wife cannot stand her husband at all. And it was kind of funny. I've always had this idealized impression of Asian family life. But
oh, please.
obviously,
spare
I guess
me.
You didn't. Or have you heard other stories where it's kind of like this before?
Yes, yes. I know a story of someone that I was friendly with for a long time. I don't know exactly the expression Chinese divorce, but he was Japanese, which is obviously different, but it's an Asian mentality and thinking. And
right.
he had been apart from his wife, you know, for 20 years or more. And there's a whole kind of saving face thing that a lot of Asians believe in, and cultural things, and protecting the family honor. You'll find this in a lot of societies, certainly in Arab societies. Anyway, so in the context of this Japanese cultural thing, getting a divorce is a disgrace to the family. And so you have some kind of a handshake thing. The woman essentially gives up having sex, literally. She just, you know, lives for her children or whatever, supposedly anyway. And the man and her live apart. He still supports her financially in some way. So he sort of like treats her as though she's still his wife. So he still honors her, and she raises the kids or whatever who, you know, he sees occasionally. And, you know, like you say, they might live in different countries even. But technically, legally, they're still married. They've never filed any papers or anything. And somehow that, you know, holds things together in some twisted way. I think it's totally insane. But I mean, if you look at our culture in America and elsewhere, lots of people do that also. You know, there's a funny statistic where they say, you know, let's say 50% of marriages end in divorce, or, you know, 2/3 of marriages end in divorce. That suggests that that other half, or that third that didn't get divorced, must be, you know, married and blissfully happy, right? That's
right.
Bullshit. That's not true. Because you see, you know, I had a lot of friends. I'm sorry to say, I saw this a lot. And I grew up in Long Island, New York, and I had plenty of friends where the mother lived upstairs and the father lived in the garage or in the basement or whatever. I mean, you know, and they had obviously a sexless relationship, and they didn't have the money to get divorced, or they didn't want to sell the house, or they were locked in some twisted synergy where they loved sticking around to torture one another. And so they were still married, and they would count in the statistics as people that were still married, but they were not married in any meaningful way. And as far as, you know, Asians go, I've got nothing against Asians. I think they're terrific people. But it's the same old, same old. I mean, women are women genetically. And this fantasy, and I've seen this a lot among guys who will go to Thailand or to Japan or elsewhere and marry an Asian woman, and she's supposed to be very pliant and very like a China doll, and she's submissive and obedient, and bullshit. Stupid.
Right.
Are you kidding?
Right.
Do you really believe that?
Yeah.
Is your Malaysian girl, what is she like?
Submissive.
Really?
Very, very proper.
You think if you married her and you had kids with her and she felt secure in your relationship, that she would stay submissive? You think so?
Well, we've already had the discussion, because at 3 months when we met each other, she wanted to get married.
Uh-huh.
And we had a long discussion. That will never happen. I've already been married. I was married for 10 years before. I called in before and talked to you and Tom. I did my own divorce. Through the county, so I was so lucky that I, you know, dodged the bullet with attorneys, not to take anything away from your practice, but, you know, low cost, we didn't have kids, but I made it clear to her, there's no way I'm ever marrying, and she was so upset, because she's 42, she is a beautiful woman, but wants to get married, has never been married before, wants kids, she's still... You know,
I don't know,
hooking up with me two times a week
is the end of the game for her.
It definitely is. And so you know,
have,
I'm older than she is.
Do you have a vasectomy, I hope?
I did, yes, I did.
Okay, so no accidents in the future.
No, and I'm 53, so you know, I'm you know, kind of a in Tom's direction, you know, than more in my fuck buddy's direction, but no, you know, she wants it, but you know what? Her mom's even told her that she's too old, really, to get married. So it's kind of funny. And a lot of her girlfriends are either single or they're divorced. So I've thrown back to her saying, listen, look at your own parents. You know, you're telling me that it's a Chinese divorce. Why in the hell would you want to make this mistake? Well, of course, you know, she knows, because the divorce law saved her. You know, and I have assets. I've worked 20 years with one employer with a big pension. So I made it clear to her, listen, we have a great thing going. If you want to, you know, hook up twice a week, and that's it. And it's funny, because it's a year and a half. I see two other women. She's still hanging around. She hasn't left.
Listen, I'm happy for you if it's working for you. That's great. I wonder how long she'll tolerate it, you know?
I agree. And I know she could leave at any moment, but that's okay. The one thing that caught me, though, when she was telling me about the Chinese divorce, though, was it's mostly to save the face of the woman.
I just said that.
Yeah, well, I thought you kind of said save the face of both family. And that's okay. I know it's a small distinction, but when she described it to me, she made it clear it was for the woman. And I've heard stories, obviously, from her about her mom, the sense of entitlement.
This woman flies around. Are you kidding?
Oh, my God, it's huge. She flies around internationally on trips.
Yeah.
She goes to theater. She's, you know, her mom's living this dual separate life away from her husband of like 40 years.
Who you mentioned she hates.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So, you know, the sense of entitlement, like you guys, like you and Tom have been saying, I think spans oceans. It's just
the thing is, she hates him, but she'll take his money, right?
You got it. You got it. See. And she tells the daughter, "Hey, my computer broke. Where's the money? Send me a check for the computer, the new laptop." That stuff going on. And it was a shock to me because I thought, you know, like I said, I had this idealized version of Asian families and kind of how they are. But my goodness, this was an eye-opener.
Well, I don't know about, you know, any particular race, but I have to say a lot of the things that women do are pretty universal. And I think that it's something that women are genetically programmed to do. I mean, I've had a lot of very serious, rational conversations with women that I've even just been friends with that I knew were super intelligent. And I said, "Why did you do that?" And they don't know. They literally say, "I don't know. I can't explain it." And I think the explanation is that it's in their firmware. I don't think it's something that they have any control over. So if you look at our genetics and our chromosomes or DNA or whatever, I don't think that there's going to be any significant difference in female behavior, regardless of the woman's national or whatever ethnic background. I just don't.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. I have a question, a quick one for Tom.
Yeah.
Tom, just from a discussion that you had earlier in the week, just about relationships and women in general, I guess, I don't know, I was listening to you and then I just had an idea pop into my head. I thought, you know, if women didn't have pussies, do you think we would ever talk to them?
Nope. Like, that's one of the oldest jokes in the world. Why do men talk to women? Because they got tits, you know.
I don't know. I came up with that on my own, though. I thought to myself, why would we bother?
Nah, if women didn't have sex to offer, men would let them starve to death.
Yeah.
And look at the number of men today, young men who are using fleshlights and virtual reality porn and what have you.
By the way, Tom, that's why women don't like it.
Not worth it.
That's why women go crazy. Women hate porn because they know they can't handle the competition.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, you guys are great. Thank you so much. Tom, blew me up old school.
I'll blow you up right now. Here you go. Love it. 901-3000. Tom, that's our telephone number. It's the bonus hour with our friend, family law attorney Adam Sachs. Coming up next, I'll tell you how you can get in touch with Adam. And we're going to talk to a guy who had a prearranged marriage.
Uh-oh.
Ever wonder what that's like?
Oh, dear.
We're going to find out coming up next.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. It's the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me out on Facebook or on the regular World Wide Web, www.adamlawyer.com. And send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com. I answer them personally.
Love that. Okay, let's go to Ahmed in Surrey, British Columbia, the site of our infamous one-time-only appearance in the Vancouver area with a woman lactated all over the boys in the audience. Ahmed, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hello, how are you doing today, Tom?
Hey, Ahmed.
I'm doing great.
Good, good. My brother's a big fan of your show, and this is my first time calling.
Salam alaikum.
So I don't know how much to start or add because I've never never called a radio show before, so I'm usually a little bit nervous. So do you want me just to start on, or do you want to just narrow it down by you asking me questions?
Well, just tell us your story, and if I need to move the story along, I will.
Okay. Well, I'm twice divorced prior to this marriage. Both prior ones were prearranged. I kind of took control of both situations in the past because I felt that they were not going anywhere, and I didn't like the way I was treated. For some reason, I did not see the warning signs, or I may have ignored the warning signs on this one, just because the girl was, I married a paranoid schizophrenic, and she was medicated.
Oh, my God.
And
Wait a minute. That's pretty heavy. Did you know going in?
Yes. Going in, I knew, and I kind of thought to
myself. Come on. A schizophrenic. That's heavy stuff.
It was, but she's, the thing is, when I got married into the relationship, she functioned normally.
But
and,
I love her!
Come on.
Well, initially, I didn't.
I'm sorry, and she was chosen by your mother for you?
No, a friend of my mother's.
Okay. Okay, I mean, and, listen, I gotta be honest with you, I'm, you know, people with significant mental illness are not gonna make good partners, okay? So I'm not shocked that one kind of exploded in your face. What about number two?
The second one?
Yes.
Oh, the second one was she was in it for the money to pay off a bill.
Oh dear, how big was the bill?
Yeah, so she took the dowry money and just fled. She already was in love with another guy, and she got married to him in Edmonton after a 1 year separation.
How much was the dowry?
$5,000.
Nice. That's nice. So she screwed you over with the marriage for $5,000. That's great.
Yeah.
So let me just ask you, having done this twice, why are you going for number three here?
I was going for number three initially because I saw the family. They came, the refugees, Syrian. The woman, something in me when I saw her felt calming and relaxing. She didn't look like a person who would screw me over by herself, which turned out eventually is true. But because she's nothing but an extended puppet of her mother.
Oh, my God.
So really, I ended up marrying the mother-in-law.
Well, that's pretty typical in some, you know, certain cultures, right, where the mother-in-law plays a huge part in your marriage. I've seen that among Persians,
well,
for example.
Not to mention the fact whoever you're marrying is going to turn into the mother of your girl today.
That goes without saying, Tom.
Yeah.
Right.
That takes a little while, though. That
goes beyond cultures and religions and countries. That's pretty much what you get. Look at the mother, and you see what you'll be getting
in
the future.
That's your future. There's no doubt. That's the factory.
Right.
But Ahmed, are you a Syrian originally also?
I'm Lebanese. She was Syrian. Okay. She's Palestinian, born in Syria.
So is that's some cultural connection that you guys have?
Yeah. The first warning sign, I think, that I should have taken note of it at the time was 3 days into the marriage and in honeymoon stage.
Wait a second. You already married this third wife?
Yeah, well, that's where my third divorce
I thought you were talking about, like, prospectively doing it.
No, I'm complimenting going with divorce proceedings because it's not working after a year. And the thing is, 3 days into the marriage, she turns around and looks at me and says, I miss my mother. I'm going to sleep a couple of nights there.
Right. Classic. Now, listen, I've heard cases, and this is not a joke. I knew people from America that had crazy things like this, where the girl was, you know, super attached to her family, which is theoretically okay, but, you know, they were married and the parents lived in another state or something, and she was this ultra-devoted daughter who was, like, going to see the parents constantly. You know, and she was essentially disconnected. She never really established a new family with the husband. Her parents, in a way, were kind of not letting go of her. I mean, if you're a woman and you have a daughter who's married and she's living with you all the time, you should say to her, what the hell are you doing here? You know, go be with your husband. Go make a new family. You know, I mean, I'm your mother. I love you. I want to see you. But, you know, you're supposed to be with your new family, not with me all the time. But a lot of parents are very selfish and narcissistic. And so the mother is saying to her, I miss you. And she's saying, okay, I'll live with you most of the time. I mean, that's not going to be a successful marriage, right?
No. The only thing that in my head is whenever it first started, and, of course, the brother-in-law was the person who wanted everything done their way, their time, deadlines, whenever we would yell and scream. And even when I fight back, it'd create frictions, and she would break down and cry, and then she would say, we have to patch things up, you know, we can't stand my family being angry.
Take her family's side, I imagine.
Oh, she never took my side in any one decision. But all that, I guess what I'm trying to say is, after all that aside, the thing is I'm having the worst in the relationship is the reprogramming. I could be talking to this woman, and she could be totally, I love you, I don't want to lose you, you could do better than me, etc., And then no 3 seconds later or 3 hours later, she would talk to her family. They reprogram her. She picks up the phone, yells at me. And everything I talk down the tubes.
All right. Well, she doesn't have a real identity of her own. She's obviously very immature. You know, one thing that I would point out, if you'll forgive me, is you said she's a refugee, right?
UN refugee, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know what happened to her, but that's a pretty traumatic thing, you know.
Her father died in 2007 in the camp in front of her.
Well,
and then she couldn't take her medication for a year, so she just regressed backwards.
Well, so how mentally healthy do you think she really is? I'm not trying to trash refugees, but I have a friend who grew up in like a civil war situation in Europe, and he's all messed up in ways, you know, related to that. And if your wife is, you know, saw her parent get killed in front of her and she saw all kinds of suffering and she suffered and all this, I mean, you know, it's only natural that she might have some kind of traumatic stress disorder or something. And she's not going to be super together. But the bigger question, Ahmed, is why do you keep getting married? Why can't you just, you know, date and have relationships? Is there some religious reason or something?
I did the dating route once, and actually that was one of my biggest distrust with women. I ended up dating an Indian girl for 6 years, and we were together, and we were establishing a normal, we started off as friends, and then we started to establish a bond together, and then moved in, and we had a great time.
Okay,
The problem I had was she was physically intimate with men, but emotionally in love with women.
Okay, so you found yourself a bisexual, I guess. I mean, that happens. That could happen. It happened to Johnny Depp. We were just talking about Amber Heard. You know, Johnny Depp, the actor, married this woman that had a history of being bisexual. That's asking for problems, you know? You're never going to really be able to give her what she wants completely, you know?
No, but the thing is, every time we would find an out together and want to move on our lives, she would come back and say that I'm willing to reform, I'm willing to change, I'm willing to convert, I'm willing to do anything, I can't lose. The problem I have is I believe in giving people chances, and I think that was my biggest downfall, is I actually believe people can change.
I understand. It's very kind-hearted of you that you think of positive things of people. But, you know, there are certain things that people really can't change about themselves. Now, I mean, I really believe this, and I think Tom will agree with me. If you had 6 years with this Indian girl, and, you know, it was pretty good overall, and it didn't work out in the end, that's okay. I don't see that as a failure. You know, you had a good run. It's like the shows that can then be put in syndication. You know, we had 6 good seasons. I don't see why, you know, if it didn't end in marriage and forevermore and happily ever after, that's a bad thing. I mean, I think you could have
Well, I was just trying to avoid doing the same mistake because I believed that it was a dead end.
Why is it a mistake? No, it's not a dead end. You had 6 good years. Why can't you have...
But it didn't fruit to anything, and it wasn't the right steps to do.
What's it supposed to go to? Where's it supposed to go? You have to have children? Is that what you're talking about?
No, but a partnership for life.
I don't know if I even believe in that, to be honest with you. And if you're digging for a partnership for life with the first girl who's a schizophrenic and the third girl, wife, who experienced war and you know, seeing her parents murdered or whatever, I mean, this is not going to be anything that's going to last, you know, for a lifetime. These are people with serious issues, right?
I guess if I have to be honest, it's just because she seemed safe.
Okay.
The other two families were vindictive and malicious, and looked like they could. This one looked like she couldn't hurt.
These are all red flags. You know, you also have to love yourself and protect yourself, right? I mean, if you see these vindictive people, the daughter on some level might be innocent now, but she's gonna, you know, be vindictive eventually too. She's going to mimic a lot of the things that she learned from her family and in her childhood and so forth. Growing up, she's going to take her family's values. I mean, if her father's a bank robber and he kills cops, you know, she's not going to have a very positive impression of life and society, right? So, I mean, it just seems to me that this thing you did with this Indian girl wasn't so bad, and you shouldn't be getting these arranged things. You should be finding yourself better and finding someone that makes you happy. And if you have a few good years together, I think that's totally legit. You don't have to force it to be, you know, forever and ever.
Let me ask you this then. Considering the number of people who are divorced and Tom's show about, you know, not getting married and being safe, how would I ever find someone and trust that after 2, 3, 4 years that they're not going to flip or change or hurt in the end.
That's not
well,
realistic.
You're living in North America. You're not living in the Middle East.
No, Tom, I don't think it's
true.
Women
have tools.
You know, the Saudis
women
have
tools.
The Saudis have a 50% divorce rate, okay? So I'm not so sure that the Middle
no, but
East
but
is
the
any
point
difference.
I make is women have tools here that they
oh,
don't
yeah.
have in other places.
That, now, that's true.
So we're basically you're getting married, and you're just hoping it's not a ticking time bomb?
No, you don't get married.
By the way, it's all. Wait a minute. I have to say something here. It's all about hope. You know, arranged marriages, maybe that works where you grew up, but it does not work here. You know, the fact is, you have to go do your own due diligence on people. You just can't take other people's word for it. Even your own parents. Oh, she'll be great. How can they say that? How can you know?
I'm just
trying to find that because even after 6 years with someone, it didn't work. So when can I be with someone and it does work is what I'm wondering.
But it did work.
Well, that's the question. Will it ever work?
No, but it did work. It worked for 6 years.
Yeah, but the working for 6 years is not what... Getting married is supposed to be forever.
Bullshit.
I understand what you're saying by he didn't get... What do you mean it's nonsense?
It doesn't exist
anymore. Getting married now is like a bad sitcom on the CW network.
Yes.
It lasts for 5 or 6 years, then it gets canceled.
Women
say, well, it had a good run.
Women talk
why
about
get
starter husbands, Tom.
Why get married for 5? I don't think you're serious, Adam. Why get married for 5 years? That's nuts.
I thought that he was with the Indian girl, not married for 6 years, and that was a good run.
Well,
but married
to the Indian girl, though. Yeah.
But married or not married, you're not. You know what? Relationships in North America just don't last that way. And when you add in cultures of other countries, like arranged marriages and things like that, dowries. I mean, how would you expect that to work
in
North America?
But at some point in time in the North American culture, it did last longer.
Yeah, well, yes, and we had the Pony Express, and we had phonographs.
And no Facebook.
Yes, that's right. We had Western Union, and yes, we had no Facebook. That's right. Your grandmother wasn't posting selfies in Facebook, and she did not have her own cell phone. And she did not leave the house without your permission. And it is just not like that anymore.
So we can never have long-lasting relationships?
Well, I think the proof is in the pudding. Look at the statistics today of what happens to marriages.
Okay, then, Adam, what's your advice?
I think you shouldn't be so hard on yourself. I think that these cases that you talk about, this woman that was a schizophrenic, this other woman that just grabbed the dowry, this more recent one with a very, you know, crazy background being a refugee in a hostile family and so forth, I think probably you should just relax, let it happen organically. I'm more impressed by your relationship with the Indian lady that was just flowing. You didn't marry her. You were together a number of years. Maybe it didn't work out in the end. That's not the end of the world. I think you have to just let it happen organically. I think that this setting up thing where you have this woman chosen for you or whatever, this arranged marriage, I don't think that that's going to work. I don't think that that makes sense of the Lebanese culture in the Canadian culture. I don't think it's going to go that way. You might be a lot happier if you just do your own thing, let it happen organically. You meet someone, you're with them for a few months or a few years, and you have some good times and see where it goes. And if it doesn't last forever and ever, that's not the reason to commit suicide. I think that's how relationships are now. And I think that I'm not the same person that I was when I was 20 and so or when I was 30. And so the woman that I was with when I was 20 or the woman I was with when I was 30 would not suit me now. And even if I was still with her, she would have changed also. So the idea that she went in one direction and I went in a different direction seems very natural. And we have so many things, what Tom's talking about with cell phones and all this internet stuff. I mean, there are so many temptations and so many distractions that things are a lot different than when people were married, you know, for life. And by the way, for life at one time was a lot shorter. I mean, what was the life expectancy? People were probably married for 10 years and the wife would die in childbirth. You know, that doesn't happen anymore in the same way. People live to be 80 or 90. So if you think you're going to get married at 20 and stay with a woman for 60 or 70 years, it's just bullshit. It's just not going to happen anymore. You shouldn't be putting so much pressure on yourself to get something that doesn't exist.
But then you hear people who have, like, you meet friends who say their parents are celebrating their 50th anniversary or something.
Yes, and they all got married in 1966, which was another century. Life is not like 1966 anymore.
I guess the world has changed very quickly in 20 years, because when I came Canada and when I was 17, I had a whole different view of the world, and my expectations was to get a job at 24 and get married and have kids. But it just got different quickly.
Maybe you're older and wiser.
I'm 38 now, so I was kind of hoping to be a dad and raise a child and be there for him when he goes to university before I become crippled and old. I guess there was a bit of peer pressure for myself as well.
Maybe it's better to have a child with a surrogate, for example. Maybe the traditional stuff doesn't work anymore in a country like Canada. Maybe. You should keep your options open and just see what's out there and experiment.
Okay, then, Adam, let me ask you since you're a lawyer and familiar with family law, what can I do to protect myself then? Obviously, there's going to be 1 year marriage. There's probably going to be some spousal support. No kids, no house, no estates, no car. I'm pretty much flat broke anyway since we walked into it and been drowned. I spent all the money on her medication, taking care of her.
Oh,
the family's a squad.
But did she appreciate any of this? Look at all the sacrifices.
She says she does.
Oh, yeah?
She says she loves me. She says she misses me. She always seems to cry every time the thought of us breaking up occurs. But there's no physical, tangible involvement in her showing appreciation, just words.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like she ever stands up and defend me for her family.
She really doesn't seem worth the aggravation, honestly. Seriously. You're putting a lot of energy into this woman who really doesn't deserve the time of day. Okay? Think about
it. Yeah, I came to realize that very late, about a week ago. I just realized that's when I wanted to
cut your losses, I would say, yeah?
Yeah, that's why I'm looking at hiring a divorce lawyer and paying to protect myself, because I'm sure they're probably, if they're type of people who are money grabbing, they're probably going to go for everything.
Well, you said there isn't much to go for, so I guess it's not a big deal.
No, I just have a government pension where I work for 10 years.
Oh, well, that's something.
So they're probably going to be 1 year spousal support or 2 years. I don't know what the lawyer said he's going to take from it, but that's only if I quit the government.
You got to stop getting married, okay? Seriously. And stop putting...
I'm actually honest to tell you, I think I'm just right now a little bit done with the whole thing because it's soured in my mouth. I actually believed that it could work. I actually believed in pre-arranged marriage for a long time, that it could work.
It could work in the countries where it is the local culture.
By the way, Tom, I'm not so sure it works there anymore either, honestly.
Well, if it works anywhere, I would never agree to such a thing. But if it ever had a chance to work, it would be where that is the normal way of doing business.
I understand, but even in a
place... And it is not that in Canada.
Of course. But even a place like Lebanon or in India, for example, I'm not so sure that it really even works there anymore either. I think things are moving very quickly forward in our technological world. And these things are with the dinosaurs, basically, at this point.
All right, so, Ahmed, good luck. Hopefully things work out for you. I'm not a big fan of a prearranged marriage, or any marriage, for that matter.
Well, prearranged is the worst kind of marriage.
That's what I would say.
Oh, God. What kills me is this poor
guy. Bad enough choosing your own mate.
Well, that's the only
way. Having your parents, who got married in 1965, picking a mate for you. Not a good thing.
We have to trust him an awful lot. And to listen to all the money he pumped into this woman and getting her medicines and her therapy, and her parents are like super hostile.
Right.
It just doesn't seem logical to me somehow.
And by the way, having nothing to do with legal advice, when there is mental illness, I know it makes people angry when I say this. I don't care. When there is mental illness, I feel bad for you. But I am not letting you move into my place. Sorry, I don't want depression. I don't want to be in quicksand.
Schizophrenia?
No. None of that.
Let me tell you, Tom, when you go to your girl's bathroom in her place, and she's got the medicine bottles on the sink in a row, it's time to go.
Yeah, well, I told the story on the show about the woman. I'll tell you what, she was a realtor in Downey. I'll tell you exactly who she was.
Don't say her name.
Beautiful chick, hot. I don't necessarily remember her name, but I remember how she looked next to that pool when she invited me down to her place. And we had been, in fact, our first date was at the spinning bar at the top of the Bonaventure Hotel downtown.
Very nice.
And so here I am saying, well, you know, we're here to meet for a drink. So what would you like to drink? Oh, I can't drink. Why not? It's medication I'm taking. I can't drink. So understand, this was like back early on in the AIDS era.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, what is she on, AZT?
Ugh.
What is she on? So that was the end of the evening, and she said, come to my place. By the way, she was a realtor, and she used to entertain in people's homes that were for sale.
I love it.
So she'd pick the place with the nicest pool and the nicest lighting, and that's where you would meet her for a date.
Wow.
So, you know, Downey is due south of downtown L.A. It was like going in the same direction as the Bonaventure. I went to her place in Downey. And at one point, she looked great, and the pool looked great, and the lighting looked great, and everything looked great. So I excused myself and went to the bathroom. And then, like the woman in the Southwest Airlines commercial years ago who went into the medicine cabinet, and then all the shells fell out. But the shells didn't fall out, but I went right to the medicine cabinet and started going through every prescription bottle I could find in that medicine cabinet. And what did I find in there? It wasn't AZT. It was lithium.
Hey.
So she had a chemical imbalance, and you can't combine lithium and booze.
Right.
And by the way, for many people who have lithium because of their manic depression, yeah, you're in a great mood when you take lithium. But you can't have an orgasm. So that means when you're dating somebody like that, sometimes they'll go off their meds for the night to have sex with you. And then you have no idea what kind of crazy reaction you're going to get later on in the evening. So I immediately skedaddled out of there.
Wow.
And wasn't part of that. But mental illness, I'm out. Out.
Wow. Well, there you have it.
So there you go. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Call me toll-free at 800-340-7320.
Or go to adamlawyer.com.
That's good, too.
Thought I'd throw that in.
Thanks.
We can write him at adam@adamlawyer.com.
Thank you.
All right. Adam Sachs, you will hear Adam every Tuesday. If you missed this live episode of Adam Sachs, you can call in next Tuesday when he appears on the bonus hour once again, and that will be next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
I heart this app a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Yes.
The only female officer in the Marines has dropped out.
I guess things got a little tough.
And apparently she failed to complete two conditioning hikes last month. Two hikes. Didn't make it.
You know, I'm
so now there are no female officers enrolled.
Right. And this was the second attempt at passing the course, and she'll now be given another specialization for her career as an officer in the Marines.
Yeah.
They don't fool around.
Can you imagine
Marines.
One of them hikes are, what it would
I'm
be
just,
like to
I'm
do
just
that?
I'm just being honest. I'd last about 84 seconds, and now I have to say, okay, I quit.
I can't feel my feet.
I give up. Okay. Yeah. I'm out.
All right. Well, you know, she tried. She tried. I think she proved a point. Right?
Right.
And she made the point everybody was saying. Look, if you can do it, great. If you can't, well, can't take that chance.
I guess the Marine General John Kelly cast doubt on whether many women would be able to enter the infantry if current standards were upheld. He said, if we don't change the standards, it'll be very, very difficult
right.
to have any numbers, any real numbers of women come into the infantry.
Correct.
Yeah, no shit.
The broads can't do it.
Dude, most guys can't do it.
Right.
That's the fact,
no, no.
Jack.
First to admit it. Officials now saying that the son of El Chapo has been kidnapped.
Oh.
The Chop.
This is the little Chop.
This little Chop.
This is cut.
Yeah. I guess 15 people in Puerto Vallarta in a restaurant were, I guess, all taken.
Yeah.
All taken by it's like seven guys with guns.
It looks like they were all using fake names, fake passports. But they started to piece this together after they grabbed everybody. Then they realized there was a Range Rover left over, a nice, Tahoe sitting there. So then they kind of figured it out that we may have Ivan. And I wonder if Ivan is the one who was posting pictures of Lamborghinis and gold guns.
He's a dummy like
and
that?
He was the dummy. From earlier. Chapo, I believe, has a few kids. I know he has a daughter and stuff.
Yeah, he's got these two sons from his first marriage.
Right.
And
that might have been the beauty queen that he married. Like Miss Sinaloa or something like that, man.
This kid apparently like 29.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of, you don't want to necessarily tip off, if you're in hiding. And I think our friend had been quite active on social media, not realizing that, there's geographic information embedded in the pictures. Go ahead and show that, green Lambo with a fucking monkey in the passenger seat again. They're going to figure out where you are.
Good move. And finally, that old crabby dude, John McLaughlin, is dead. Yeah, the McLaughlin report. I'm sure you regularly watch that.
And his final words were? Bye-bye.
Is that what he should say? Signing off?
Apparently
at
so.
At the end of every show.
Yeah, no. I didn't know. Wait, I see, because Tom says it so convincingly that I'm not even sure if it's a goof or if it's real. So
he apparently did that show for 34 years, never missed a single show.
He missed one
until
show.
Last week.
He missed the show last week,
yeah,
and now he's dead.
He was feeling under the weather.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. By the way, I guess he had a doctorate as well. So.
Oh, look at him, Smarty Pants.
Yeah.
Oh, he was 89.
Dude, 89, and on TV all the time.
I know.
I mean.
I know. Plenty more news for guys.com, and of course you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Bitch, you better start sucking your fucking dick.